Ian Basarabi, we are talking about collaboration in and being a team player. So explain this to me. Is there a difference?
There absolutely is a difference, and I think that's where the problem is people confuse collaboration and being a team player. So often you'll find on a job interview questionnaire or something, are you a team player?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody ticks the box. I've seen very few come through where people say, no, I'm not a team player, because it's kind of like a
right,
career
exactly,
limiting
thing. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, no, I don't like working with teams. But
I don't like people.
Yeah, I'm not a people person. Okay. Yeah, well, stay in your room.
But I'm sorry, before you carry on, I have to show you a meme that somebody sent me yesterday. It's a guy sitting and being interviewed by a man and a woman, and the interviewer said, so, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And the person answers, I'd say my biggest weakness is listening.
Oh my goodness.
I just thought that is so funny.
That is so apt. And it's so true. We get so caught up in our own worlds that we often just nod. And have you ever noticed people nod?
I can't stand it. Yeah. I hate it.
Got no concept of what you
do. I want to say, like, you've tuned out. Idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen to me when I'm talking.
Talk to the hand.
Right, exactly.
So I think going back to the topic, where we see teamwork, and just to maybe give an example, is a teamwork or a team is usually distinguished by leadership. And when I say leadership is you usually have somebody who takes a commanding role and brings all the individuals together to work as a team. Now what that means is it means that the team members don't necessarily have to like each other. They actually don't necessarily have to talk to each other. They've just got to do what they're told. So it's very much a command and control structure. And teams are very effective. If people know, if you look at football teams, you know, the goalie doesn't necessarily have to like the striker, but as long as they do their roles, they can be successful.
It's always so interesting because I'm so often asked the question, do I need to like my business partner? Do I need to like my colleagues? And I actually battle with that as an answer, because I think the reason that you do like them or don't like them is important, not that you do or that you don't. But it's a very difficult one.
So I get the same questions, and my question usually I get is I'm struggling with my team. I just can't get my team to work together. And the point is, we don't need to like people. And there's a nice phrase. We don't have to have tea and tiny cakes with people and spend every moment with them. But it goes a little bit beyond liking. It goes to respect. And I think you don't necessarily have to like someone, but you can respect them. And I think as long as there's mutual respect amongst people who are working together, you can move on. And that's where collaboration differs. Is collaboration means that people have to think together, they have to work together, and they have to come up with a common approach to resolving an issue or completing a project, etc. So you're right, Howard, you're not going to get a whole bunch of people, and it's probably wrong to get a bunch of people that like each other, because then they just become people pleasers and you just go patting each other on the back and not moving forward. So you do need a little bit of healthy tension, but as long as it's in the context of respect.
Okay. So what do you think the most important aspects of collaboration is?
The most important is to respect the other person.
Okay, so the main thing is respect.
It's absolutely respect. So I think everybody that joins a collaborative framework or joins a collaboration needs to understand that they're not always going to be right. Mm-hmm. And that's difficult, because we always feel that we've got to go into a room and we've got to get our point across and we've got to show people that we know what we're talking about. And sometimes people associate that with being right.
And sometimes we might think we are right and be right, but it's still not going to be the decision that we make as a team.
And that's about, when we go back to collaboration, it's collaborating together to come up with a solution or come up with a joint approach that works for the majority. Mm. There's a fascinating study that was done in terms of how people focus so much on trying to get agreement in meetings. How often have you been into a meeting and said, okay, we're going to agree? And you walk out of there and you go, oh my word, I'm further apart than I was. Yeah. Mm. And the the reality is you're never going to agree. You're never going to get everybody to agree. What you need to seek is alignment. And I think that there's a key distinction. So if you're going into a room with a mindset of, okay, I'm going to align with these people and we're going to focus on reaching a specific goal, but we're going to respect that people have a different approach, you've got a much better chance of being successful than trying to get everybody to agree.
Right. And I guess the, you know, what I find often in the dynamics of a meeting is people will be, feel very strongly about something and it comes from, let's assume the right place, and it's a concern about the business, but they see something very logically in a certain way. Somebody else might see something logically in another way. And there's always this tension of, well, if we go that way and it goes wrong, then what's going to happen? Or if it comes my way, goes my way, and it's proved to be incorrect, then what's going to happen? Is it going to be a I told you so situation? And if I don't voice my objection, then maybe somebody will turn around later and say, but you were in the room when we made this decision, why didn't you say anything? And there's always, and that's all about ego. That is, every aspect of that is about ego, is about making ourselves feel better or feel worse.
Talk to that. So the reality is if you fear failure, if you fear that you're going to make a decision and you're going to fail, the reality is you'll never make a decision. You'll always be
100% right.
you'll step back and you'll think, oh, I can't make this decision because I might fail. The reality of life is made up of failures. And it's how you deal with it, how you respond to those failures, and how you acknowledge and accept that I'm not perfect, that I am going to make mistakes and I'm going to fail, but what am I going to do in response to that? And that's the key challenge. Is we talk about the difference between reacting and responding. Reacting is you absolve yourself and you turn around and say, oh, wasn't my fault. You know, to your point, wasn't my fault because everybody was in the room. So you absolve yourself from it. Responding means we tried, we failed, but let's learn from what we did and let's move on. That is responding in a responsible way by saying, you know, I don't know all the answers. And what that does is, for a collaborative team, is it gives people a sense of comfort that everybody has a place to be wrong. But as I say, it's not about being wrong every time.
But I think that comes from leadership. I think that if you create an environment where somebody can say, I'm really sorry, I dropped the ball here, this is what I did wrong, then you don't need to hide it either. We don't need to hide the ball that we've dropped. So I think that's very, very important, to be able to own your stuff. But you have to create an environment that within a team that allows that as well. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Are you part of a team? And have you felt that sometimes this is a challenge? Maybe you take on too much. Maybe somebody else does. Maybe there's a people pleaser in your team. Maybe you are the people pleaser. And how do you best deal with that? It's about to go 7:30. Time is 7:37. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. B. Kadish says, Steve Hoffmeyer, we were talking about him earlier. He lost a case yesterday because he, anyway, we went into that case. If you weren't listening, I'll tell you about it a bit later if I get a chance. But Steve Hoffmeyer standing up for his people, just like you, in capital letters, do for Israel. But he is the racist. I wonder how many bad Afrikaners are supporting land expropriation without compensation in Israel. None, I guess. I'm not really following this. But as a Jew, we feel entitled to bash all. We are the light for the world to follow. You should listen to Praga in the evening. You have a lot to learn. That's from B. Kadish. And then goes on to say, don't bother responding. I'm tuning in to another radio station that doesn't employ step-talking bigots. So, Natty, I think this is for you, hey? I think this message is for you, Zanati.
No, and I won't bother responding because
don't
not
you
listening.
Bother responding. I always say to people, and you know, maybe I should make the public service announcement now. If you want to change channels because I offend you, all you do is click that button on your radio. You don't need to let me know. I mean, I don't mind you letting me know. I'm very, very happy to share that pivotal moment with you. But honestly, you don't need to. You just need to change channels.
It's always like people that unfollow you on Twitter. They have to announce.
I know. Exactly. That's it. As of now, you're done. All right. So good luck, BK Dish, in finding a radio station that doesn't employ bigots and who doesn't offend you. Because, yes, I wish you all the luck in the world with that one. All right. And Clive saying, do Jews deserve Donald Trump? He's the only world leader directly to confront anti-Semites such as Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. Some Jews definitely don't deserve him. All right, that's on some of the other conversations that we have been having. In terms of our conversation with Ian, Unsigned says the following: communication is another key element of working together. It is a well-mannered approach to the workplace requiring all members to talk to each other. It involves interacting in whatever way works best for you and for your team personally and relationship-wise. And Ian, I guess that is the answer. It's all about respect. It's about communication.
So Howard, that's such a interesting point because we don't communicate. We think we do, but we don't communicate. It's one of the saddest things that we face today, not just in society, but in business as well, where everybody is so plugged into their devices that they have a closer relationship with a cell phone, a laptop, an iPad, whatever it may be. Yet we don't sit and actually discuss. We don't engage and listen to other people's points of view. So one aspect of gaining respect is really about what we call active listening. Now how often have you sat down and had a conversation with someone where you're totally tuned into that person?
Very well. And today's times, it's more and more difficult.
Absolutely.
Because we're so distracted with everything. I mean, I'm busy doing that. I'm busy reading SMSs, looking to see what's going on, watching the time, trying to have it, you know, it's what we do, unfortunately.
And the platforms that we're exposed to these days actually encourage you to do that. It's quite sad. I'll give you a practical example. We use a lot of these video conferencing facilities. I'll just name some like Zoom and Google, Hangouts and, WebExes and all of that. And the interesting thing is that these platforms have voice, video, chat, presentation, all those different, mediums. And you can't believe, so somebody will be presenting on a channel, on a topic, if I can say, and then you've got somebody writing in the chat thing about something arbitrarily
completely different.
And then, another person is writing a private chat to you about something else saying, do you really get what this guy's doing? And you're meant to be focusing on that individual. So distraction is probably one of the biggest problems we have. We don't go into a collaborative session focused, like being prepared for what we're meant to be there for.
But it's interesting because I think it even extends to, and I've seen this a lot in work WhatsApp groups, where it might be designed to convey certain messages because there's 20 or 30 people on it or however many people are on a group. But then somebody gets into an argument with somebody and you think, what on earth is going on here? I don't even need to see this argument. I'm not interested. I'm not on this group for that purpose. And that can be work-related. It can be activist-related, no matter what it is. But we somehow just don't seem to understand what the focus of communication is at that particular time. What is wrong with us?
And I think I call it the reality TV show syndrome, is we sometimes like to either get caught up in other people's problems. So just on the topic you're talking about in a WhatsApp group, some people like to be observers. So if you're having an argument on a WhatsApp group with someone, people actually enjoy sitting by and just watching how this plays out. And that's sad in a way, but it's a reality. And one of the ways of overcoming this, and I've seen this, is you rotate leadership. And what I say is you rotate leadership is that everybody has the opportunity to take ownership of a meeting or ownership of a situation.
Very, very good.
And the reason for that is not to put somebody on the spot. It's not to say, well, sorry, you're an introvert and you're a quiet person. Mm. I now want you to lead the company. It's not about a permanent role.
No, you're not talking about leading a company. No, you're talking about leading a specific project or a meeting.
Absolutely.
And it gives people different perspectives. It gives actually the senior person a different perspective as well.
Absolutely.
Lynn says, hi, Howard and Ian. When we talk about getting things wrong, we're not just talking about dropping the ball and making predictable errors. Often there's not enough information to be completely confident about an outcome. And we need to treat these scenarios as something of an experiment and frame it this way to our colleagues in management. For example, it's the difference between building an app for your customer and assuming it's perfect and done versus continually tracking how people use it and what they say and using that info to adapt and tweak what you've built. I think that's very, very astute.
I love that. And it's something that thank you, Lynn, for that. It's something we all get caught up in, especially in big corporates. It's called analysis paralysis.
Right. Ian, this is a fascinating conversation. I'd like to continue it next week, if possible.
Fantastic.
Because I think this goes to the core of so many of our workplace issues and so much of what we battle with in the workplace, which is all about communication, collaboration, teamwork, and how we get a point across, how we achieve what we need to do without losing ourselves along the way and without losing that which is important. It is 7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. This is Your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM.